Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
So my son was doing, he's interviewed a lot on podcasts by different worship leaders across the country, and he was in a podcast, he was interviewed by a friend of mine who we've been to Peru together and with Compassion, and he runs Catalyst. He's the president of Catalyst Ministries and does the big conferences every year. Anyway, so he sent me a text. His name's Tyler. Tyler sent me a text that, hey, I just did a podcast with your son. And so I went online and listened to it. Mary and I were sitting there listening to it. And because Tyler and I are good friends, and he and Mac are good friends, he started asking Mac something about, you know, growing up in the church and having a dad who's a pastor. And Mac just started saying some really sweet things about me. And I was sitting there and I was crying. And Mary was really tender about that, wondering why I didn't say anything about her. So it was my moment, Mary. You get to play the drums, or, you know, just. Anyway, so I text Mac and I said, hey, I just listened to the podcast that you did with Tyler. I really appreciate, you made me cry, all the sweet things you said. And my son, you know, I thought he would take advantage of that moment and say, well, Dad, I meant every word of it and all this. He said, oh, Dad, I do so many of those things, I don't remember what I said. There's my boy. So anyway, it's great for us to be together on this day. And I want us to pray. Where's Jordan? Where's Jordan? Jordan Whiteside. She not in here? Did she not? Oh, she's out there doing some of that. Anyway, Jordan Whiteside, she is heading to China tomorrow for a mission trip. I think she might have been in the last service. Anyway, we want to pray for Jordan as she heads over there for a mission trip. And then next Sunday, we'll take a special time to pray for my buddy Joe over here. Joe's in my life group. He's being deployed for an entire year overseas and with the military. So we're going to have a special prayer time for him next Sunday because it'll be his last Sunday with us. So be sure not to miss that. Well, I enjoyed our series that we did on the unbelieving believer, and it kind of stretched us and stretched me and challenged me. For the next two Sundays, guess what we're going to talk about? Christmas. And then we have Christmas Eve service, which is always special. But on December the 30th, the last Sunday of the year, we're going to have baptism. And if that's something you've not done yet, or you've been thinking about that and would like to be a part of that, just call the church office and we will set that up for you. And so we're excited about any time we have the opportunity to do a baptism. So today, I just want to talk about how so often things in our life seem so random. And sometimes we know the Christmas story, you know, we know the events. But when you step back from it and try to imagine yourself in the moment of when those things happened, there was a lot of randomness to it. And it had to be chaotic for some of the key players in that story. You know, there's something about us that we have this deep desire to find meaning and purpose even in the most random events in our life. And we try to find meaning and purpose. It's kind of like one time, you know, you're driving down the interstate and you get pulled over, get a ticket, and then you start driving again. You say, you know, God probably made sure I got stopped because if I'd have gotten a mile down further down the road, I'd been in a major wreck, and God protected me by me getting a ticket and getting stopped. No, you got stopped because you were speeding. But, you know, as Christians, sometimes we want to so spiritualize everything and we want to try to connect the dots and find meaning and purpose to it. It's kind of like Christmas trees. You know, when you've had Christmas trees for a long time, you start to collect a lot of different kinds of ornaments, right? And so a lot of times those ornaments have meaning and purpose. And so here's one that's very meaningful to me. We have a set of drums that we put on the tree, you know, for my wife. And that's very significant to the family. And the kids grew up seeing this ornament being put on our tree. This one has a lot of meaning. I just don't remember. I don't know. I'm sure it did at one time. This one. You know, this is angel wings. You know, the Bible says that every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's a movie. Never mind. That's not in the Bible. This one, though, is very significant. The very first cousin in the family of my kids, the very first cousin born was from Mary's sister. And so he was the first grandchild, the first cousin. And his name is Elliot Hunley. Elliot is a world-renowned artist. He has some of his work is in some of the top galleries in the world. And he has a massive studio out in California. And he made this ornament for Mary and myself. And it's just unique. I mean, it's something he did personally. So that's very meaningful to us. And we also have one of his paintings hanging in our house. And for fun, I texted him one time and said, "Hey, we're having a yard sale. How much should I ask for this painting you did for us?" And he immediately texted me back. He said, "Uncle Don," he said, don't do that. "I'll buy it back from you." I said, "You really think I'm going to sell something to you that you gave to us as a gift and that I would sell it in a yard sale? How much are you offering?" I mean. So anyway, we try to connect the dots. We try to have meaning and purpose. And so we as humans, we want to feel like we're a part of something, that there's an explanation to all the randomness that happens in our lives. And so we want to, in order to ensure that there's purpose in everything, we've come up with some phrases. And like, for example, everything happens for a reason. Well, me choosing to sin was not God's will. You know, the reason was I chose to be disobedient. Or we'll say things like, "Well, I just don't believe in coincidence." We're trying to connect the dots there. Or maybe we say, "Well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be." And so we try to have these phrases. We try to give purpose and meaning. I mean, the reality is sometimes we just make bad decisions, and so things don't work out. And sometimes we make good decisions, and things don't work out. And so we try to connect the dots as believers, and we try to call it a God thing, especially when tragedy strikes. We want to know the whys behind it, the purpose in that pain. We're trying to give understanding to it. And so this Christmas story is a reminder to us that we don't want to ignore connecting the dots. And the world is not as random as we think it is. And yes, there is a divine story. And yes, you're part of it. And yes, the dots do connect. And from time to time, God drops in to a person's life in an unmistakable way to give you a push in the direction you need to go. Now, you know, when I grew up, you know, started driving, a lot of you that are my age, most of us had straight drives, right? And one of the good things about a straight drive is that, you know, you didn't need a battery to start it. You know, I mean, all you had to do was just get enough of a hill to go and pop the clutch and get that thing started. And, you know, if you had a straight drive, you probably did that at some point. That was part of your training session, was learning how to pop the clutch. But you just needed that little push to get the car going. Well, sometimes that's what God does. He pops the clutch on you and he wants to get you going in the right direction. Now, you and I, being who we are, quickly and sometimes very easily get off the path that he has for us. And we tend to go in this direction or this direction instead of that path. And God comes along and intervenes from time to time. He may use people, he may use circumstances. And he, you know, because he loves us, he said, look, this is not what I have for you. You have a choice to continue down that path, but it's not going to end well. And I don't want that to happen to you. I've got a purpose and plan for you. It may not make a lot of sense, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a challenge. And so God sometimes intervenes to kick us back to where we need to be. And sometimes he does that to help us to get our bearings. And so there are times he allows even hard, hurtful things to happen to get our attention. And so we're going to start with Luke chapter 1 in verse 1. And start reading some of the story. It says, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, my most honorable Theophilus, so that you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, now Elizabeth was a relative of Mary. The King James Bible will call her a cousin. We don't really know for sure, but she was a relative, and they certainly knew each other. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and she was an older person, that she was beyond pregnancy but she still got pregnant. She was beyond having children, but God did a miracle in her life. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Now, let's just stop there for a moment. They didn't have a dating relationship for 6 months to a year to figure out if they liked each other. The way marriages were done back then, they were arranged. And a lot of times you did not meet the person you were going to marry until the day of the wedding. And the parents would get together and they would decide who was going to marry who. And on your wedding day, you would meet the person you were going to marry and they would say, okay, you're going to get married. You know, you don't know each other. You don't even know if you love each other, but you'll work it out. It'll all work. And so we don't know how long she knew Joseph. It was probably an arranged marriage. But this was massive. I mean, think of all the things that hung in the balance of this choice of Mary. Think of all the things that have been named after her, cathedrals named after her. There's a Catholic church in Orlando, right outside of Disney World, called Mary, Queen of the Universe. And every time Mary and I go to Orlando, we have to stop there so that she can get another picture made of her next to that sign. And I keep telling her, I don't care how many pictures we take of you by that sign, it's not going to change reality. It's not about you. Now, we don't know anything about Mary before the angel Gabriel interrupted her life. In fact, God had been silent for 400 years. And now God was still at work, but not in a significant way like this where it was written and recorded. All we know about her is that she was probably a young teenager, and she was planning on marrying a guy named Joseph, who was a carpenter, and she was going to lead a normal life like her mother and her father before her, and she would probably live and die right there in the same Galilean community that she grew up in. And she would just be another nameless, faceless multiple of individuals who live and die in that place, except for one event that changed everything. God came in and kick-started her life in a whole new direction. And it was not random. And the angel connected the dots for her really quick. And the time had come for God to start writing the story again, the story of redemption. And it was time again now for God to make himself very evident, even though he had been working during that 400 years. He didn't go away on vacation. He was still engaged. We don't always know how, because the scripture does not give us any of those accounts, but this one was different. Now God was going to come and be a part of the human race in a very real personal way. So Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." Now that's a whole story in itself. God had chosen to favor her. Not that she deserved it, but God chose to favor her. "The Lord is with you." Now, confused and disturbed, that would be an understatement in the scripture, an absolute understatement. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary." That was an understatement. I mean, this whole story, just try to grasp. See, you and I are on this side of the story, so we know how the dots connect, so it makes sense. Imagine yourself in that setting. They haven't heard from God in 400 years, and Gabriel shows up. Not just any angel, an archangel, a key angel. And he says, "Don't be afraid, you have found favor with God. You've been singled out for a purpose. God is showing up in human history, and he's going to do it through you." Imagine a teenage kid hearing that. Then he goes on to say, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. And we've already chosen his name for you. His name will be called Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." Now, right there, she just heard something that was blasphemous. To call yourself the Son of God, to connect yourself any way to God on a personal level, was blasphemous, and you would be stoned to death. So here's an angel saying a blasphemous thing, that you're going to have a son, you're a virgin, but you're going to have a son, and he's the Son of God. "The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David." That's where Joseph came in. "And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, just imagine the flood of thoughts is coming into this young teenage kid's life in her mind. You know, when she hears that, well, there had not been an independent Jewish kingdom for 500 years. 500 years. They've been under somebody else's rule. So can you imagine what she's going through? The reality is, that's probably not what she was concerned about. She had other things to be concerned about. How am I going to explain this pregnancy? Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." Now, listen to what the angel says to her. And try to wrap your... Now, here again, you and I know this side of the story, so this makes a lot of sense, and we've heard this story our whole Christian lives, or you know, most of our lives, and we don't think anything of it. But imagine her hearing this. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, God himself, will overshadow you." Now, just imagine what is going on in this kid's life, in her mind. Are you kidding me? The only place God is in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. And if anybody goes in there, they're struck dead other than the high priest once a year. And you're telling me that I'm going to be in the presence of the Holy God? He's going to overshadow me. How am I even going to survive that? This goes against everything I've ever been taught. God is in Jerusalem in the temple, but he's going to come here to Nazareth, and I'm going to have his son, the Son of God, which is a blasphemous thing to say. I mean, I just cannot begin to fathom what she is thinking. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. This isn't going to just be another kid. This kid's going to be holy. The Son of God. He will be called the Son of God. Twice now, he just said something blasphemous. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. And who is that kid? That was going to be the one who goes before Jesus to proclaim the coming of Jesus. That kid was the one who was going to baptize Jesus, John the Baptist. I like this statement, and you need to remember this statement. For the word of God will never, absolutely, an absolute statement, the word of God will never fail. You can bank on that. If God's word says it, it will never fail. It will never fall short. It will never change. You can bet the farm on God's word.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Mary responded. Now notice how all of a sudden she changed gears. Totally changed. I mean, you talk about maturity here. You talk about depth here. You talk about this proves that God chose the right person. Here's her response. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Now, if I had been Mary, I think I would have said, but Gabriel, before you leave, do you mind coming home with me? I want you to tell this story to my parents. And we'll stop by Joseph's house on the way as well, because they ain't going to believe this. So it's been over 400 years since God had done anything overt. He had done a lot of stuff otherwise, and things that may have seemed random. But think about what he's done. He had the Babylonians in charge. He had the Persians in charge, Alexander the Great. He had now the Romans are in charge. And now this, the birth of a king. You see, every once in a while, God just drops in. He jump starts the car to push you towards his plan.
Amen.
And it's like God showed up again and said, hey, you think these 400 years were random? Every one of those kingdoms came and went by my declaration. You know, the Bible says that. The Bible says that whatever kingdom's on the throne, God put them there.
Amen.
And he did it for his purpose. It was part of his plan. It wasn't random. God's always connecting the dots. In fact, God is saying to Mary, Mary, this is about me, not you. This is about my plan, not your plans. And you've been found with favor to be a part of God's plan. And so that's where we need to get. We need to get to the place where we say, God, I want to be about your purpose and plan. I'm tired of trying to connect the dots myself. It never seems to work. I want to be a part of what you have to say. Because you see, for the most part, our days sometimes seem to be made up of mostly random events. So Mary doesn't hear from the angel again. So things get back to randomness, only worse. The next thing she knows, she's pregnant, riding on a donkey or walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 100 to 120 miles, about a four-day journey. And she's probably wondering, Gabriel, this is the King of Kings that I'm carrying. Could I have not gotten some first-class tickets to Bethlehem? I mean, couldn't you have just given me a lift? She's probably thinking all sorts of things. If I'm carrying the Son of God and I'm having to walk to Bethlehem, oh my goodness. And then you get there, and the worst news imaginable is that there's no place to stay. Now, they didn't have hotels, but they had guest houses. People would have a guest room. And so the guest houses were all full. But so here's what happened. Now, when I was in Bangladesh, we had a mission trip to Bangladesh, and there was a kid that I sponsored through Compassion, and I went to visit him in his home, and he wanted me to see his room. So I went into his room, where it was a mud hut, and I went into his room where he had some pictures that I had sent him, and he had his bed, and right next to his bed was the cow, the family cow. I mean, he's a family member. And so my kid that I sponsor, he shares a room with the cow. And they don't, when the cow does his business, they don't just throw it out. They take it with their hands and pack it on the walls to let it dry, and they use as fuel. So yeah, it smells just like you think it would. And that was his room. Well, that's the kind of place that Mary and Joseph went into. They went into the cow's room, the animal's room. And the manger, oh, when we think about a manger, we think of this sweet little, you know, padded with a pillow, silk pillow in it. No, that's a trough that they would feed the animals with. And so you imagine how nasty that thing was. Well, this is where the Son of God was born. And again, Mary's thinking, really? I had to walk here for 4 days, and my kid's going to be born with the cows? Now, they were there for a while, and an angel came to Joseph in a dream, and he says, you need to take this, your son, and go to Egypt. Some bad, you know, some people are out to kill him, and we're going to get him into Egypt. Now it began to make sense why they had all these expensive gifts given to them, and so that they would have money to live off of while they're in Egypt. And then the most horrible news came. They found out that Herod, who didn't like the idea of there being a king of the Jews, because he was the king of the Jews, he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem, and any male child under the age of 2 was killed. Now imagine living with that. Mary's sitting there going, because of my child, those mothers lost their child. Because of my child, all those kids were slaughtered. God, what are you up to? It's not just another act of random violence, like most people would have thought. Just, you know, another crazy act of violence. And so imagine her living with that. God, why didn't you warn every parent to take their kid? You just told us. Life's tough, right?
Amen.
The Christmas stories. Not so easy. Some tough stuff in that. And trying to connect the dots makes it very difficult. So which branch on Mary's purpose tree would she hang that ornament? Then one day, the favored of God, Mary, would have to listen as God's given son was beaten to the inch of his life. She would have to hear the whips coming down on his flesh. And she would witness firsthand the gore of it. And then she would watch as they would drive those spikes into his hands and feet. And she would watch while the Son of God was hanging on a cross for 6 hours. And she didn't understand at that point what all this was about. But she was willing to trust the one who did. She was willing to trust Holy God. You remember what she said? Let me just go back and repeat that. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Mary remained faithful to that statement her entire life. She knew it was about God, not about her. She knew that God was writing the story, not her. She knew that God was giving the direction, not her. But she got to be a part of it. She got to be a part of it. From the vantage point of time, there's nothing random about what we read about in Scripture. Her pain was our gain. Her faith, you know what? Her faith didn't really move God. Her faith moved her to trust God as God moved her. Did you get that? Your faith in God is what causes God to move you, not you move God. If you think praying with enough faith, God will give you what's on your wish list, that's not how it works. God moves you to His wish list for you, His plans for you. Perfect faith is to respond to seemingly random events as if they're a part of a perfect plan of Holy God. To put it in theological terms, Paul put it this way in Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to His plan. There's your theological statement. If I am a follower of Jesus, then everything is going to work according to His plan in my life as I trust Him. You see, we want to know where to hang everything on the Christmas tree. We want to know the order. We want to know the relationship. But that's not our responsibility. God's the one that does that. God's the one who puts the events in our life to order our life, to guide our life. So here's the deal. You and I were created to look for the purpose that God has for us. Sometimes we find it, sometimes we miss it because we're not looking. Sometimes we find it immediately, sometimes it takes a while. And so at Christmas, we're reminded that life is not as random as it seems. There's a story that's taken place. It's a divine story. And even though when you look at the individual events that happen in that divine story, and some of it seems so harsh, and some of it seems so surreal, and some of it doesn't make sense, and sometimes we go, why did God allow that? Why did God allow that slaughter? But if you choose, you can choose to participate in God's divine story. And you can say, like Mary, I am the Lord's servant. Do what you want to do with me.
Amen.
You know, God never interrupts his plans, but he is always interrupting ours. God has his plan, and he's going to fulfill his plan. And he will interrupt your plan to get you in his plan.
Amen.
So you have a choice. You get to decide which plan you're going to be a part of. Your random plan, where you're putting the ornaments on the tree of your life and it seems good at the time, and then later you wonder, why did I buy this ugly thing? Or you can be a part of God's purpose and God's plan for your life. In fact, I want to pray with you right now, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. And so listen to these words, and if they represent what you want to say to God, then say it. Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. So that I will respond to the seemingly random events in my life as part of your perfect plan for me. Increase my faith that I will respond to your nudges when you push me in the right direction. Lord, increase my faith when you interrupt my plans, that I will trust you. Increase my faith. When I step into a direction that seems crazy, makes no sense, Lord, let me be a willing servant like Mary was. And let us say with the same conviction that she said as a young teenager, I am the Lord's servant. Can you say that to God today? I am your servant. Lord, I am your servant.